Okay, so to continue on a little bit from the section on karma that we were talking about. Yeah, so we talked about the 10 destructive actions. It's important also to talk about the 10 constructive ones. So there's two ways to create constructive actions. First one is simply by avoiding the non-virtuous ones, okay? So you're faced with an opportunity where you could lie and you make a conscious decision to yourself, no, I'm not gonna do that. Or you're faced with a situation where you could really tell someone off and you say, no, I'm not gonna do that, okay? So it's just the avoiding of a destructive action itself is a constructive one. And this is why taking and keeping precepts is so helpful, because you have that determination to avoid the destructive action, and that determination is always in your mind. And so every moment that you're not acting counter to that determination, every moment that you're keeping the precept, you're accumulating that constructive karma of that virtuous deed, even though you're sleeping or not doing anything special, okay? So taking and keeping precepts is a very powerful way to accumulate a lot of merit. And we should really understand this and respect our precepts because of it. And then acting in the opposite way of the destructive actions itself is a second way to create constructive actions. So, for example, instead of killing, then to protect others' lives. You know? And so, I mean, fortunately, we don't live in a war zone, but, you know, there may be hunters, there may be people will, you know, who are going to kill bugs or whatever, you know, so any way to protect life, or even protect people from being physically harmed, you know, because even though the action is killing and not an abandoning killing, you know, any kind of physical harm that we do to people falls under those. And so protecting people from physical harm also would be a constructive action. And then instead of stealing to protect others' property, yeah, instead of unwise and unkind sexual behavior, using sexuality wisely and kindly, or being celibate. Instead of using speech to create disharmony, speaking in ways whereby we can bring people together, you know. And that's really nice. Sometimes we don't think enough about that, how good it feels when you can talk to people and help them reconcile. Or you can talk to people and help them see that, no, somebody wasn't out to get you, they weren't criticizing you, you know, because somebody misunderstood something or they're on something, you know, and then you can help them reconcile. And just how nice that is, how good that feels, to be able to use our speech to bring people together, you know. And I think any of the outreach programs that we do too, that are aimed to bring people together and create harmony, fall under this one. And then instead of harsh speech, speaking kindly to others, you know, pointing out the good things they do, praising them, and not praising, the praise isn't because we want to butter them up so we can get something from them. The praise is, you know, real sincere praise. And it's interesting because it really changes our mind when we get in the habit of pointing out people's good qualities. Yeah, I mean, you don't realize it until you try and do it. You know, if you really make a focus thing that you want to try and do in your life is, you know, to point out people's good qualities or an action they did that you really appreciate. You know, when you start getting in the habit of doing that, it feels really good. It feels much better than criticizing other people. Yeah. Okay, and then, I'm missing one. Besides idle talk, what's the one before that? Oh, lying. Yeah, I miss lying. Duh. So instead of lying, you know, speaking the truth. Yeah. And then instead of idle talk, you know, again, making it a habit to be aware of what we're talking about and the topics we're talking about, if they're really useful, you know, to be aware of the time we're talking. You know, does the other person really want to talk now, or are they trying to be quiet? You know, so learning to talk at the right time about the, you know, topics that are beneficial and interesting to people. So not going on and on and on about something that we're interested in that the other person clearly finds boring. Yeah. And then of the three mental ones, instead of coveting others' possessions, cultivating thoughts of generosity, you know, and thoughts of rejoicing that other people have good opportunities and they have good qualities, and you know, so that kind of generosity of spirit, as well as the generosity of sharing possessions and resources. You know, a very different mindset than the one that says, I've got to protect what I have because somebody else, if I give it, then they'll have it, and I won't have it, and if they steal it, oh, you know. So pulling ourselves out of that kind of mental state. And then instead of malice and ill will and wishing bad things happen to people or planning to get our revenge or any kind of hateful kind of way of thinking about others, here the opposite is to cultivate a mind of loving kindness, you know, and really train the mind to see other people's good qualities, and as I keep talking about, to see ourselves as the recipient of others' kindness. Yeah, it's really the opposite of malice, isn't it? Yeah. And then instead of wrong views, to really learn the Dharma, study the Dharma, review our notes, think about the teachings we've heard, think about what we read, develop, you know, correct Dharma understandings, then that's the remedy, or the opposite to wrong views, you know, cultivating right views. So there's two kind of right views. One right view is the right view about conventional truths, in other words, talking about causality, karma, and its effects, you know, that our actions, you know, have effects aside from what happens in the next 2 minutes. And then the other kind of, you know, correct view is about the ultimate nature of reality, you know, finding the middle way view of emptiness free of the two extremes. Okay, so to really, you know, set our intention on deliberately going out of our way to cultivate these 10 constructive actions. Actually, there's 20. Because just abandoning the 10 is 10, and then acting at the opposite is another 10. But, you know, it really changes our life, and it changes our mood. You know, if we set our intention to speak and act and think differently. Because nowadays so many people, you know, they say, I'm in such a bad mood all the time, and I'm depressed, and I just feel, yeah, you know. And you can see that these people don't realize that happiness comes from their own mental state, from what you decide to think about and what you decide to talk about and do, you know. So when we're fortunate enough to hear these teachings and, you know, to have the time and space to make these aspirations and determinations about how, you know, where we want to put our mental energy. Do we want to just put it into, you know, this is wrong and that's wrong and I want this and I want that, but I can't get it and these people have more than I do and it's not fair and the whole world's rotten and my friends betray me and my parents didn't give me what I want and on and on. You know, you can spend your whole life thinking like that. Yeah, or you can spend your whole life in another kind of mood. Yeah, I was just talking this morning with one of my old Dharma friends who is in the process of, she wants to set up a monastery in Mexico, and she's going through what I went through here, and, you know, I can sense her like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? Are the waves crashing on me? You know, I can't swim. You know, and you know, to be able instead to you know, to encourage her in the virtuous things that she's doing, and giving her some tips and encouragement and stuff like that, and how it feels really good when you can do something for somebody that you can see alleviates their anxiety and their suffering and encourages them to do something valuable.